Go to the word of the Lord. It says this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies. This conversation God's having with his son, making them a footstool under your feet. The Lord will extend your powerful kingdom from Jerusalem, and you will rule over your enemies. Can you not wait for the descent of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem? Oh my goodness. He cracks open the Mount of Olives and then marches all the way right on into the city and takes up rulership of the entire world from the city of Jerusalem. Wow. When you go to war, your people will serve you willingly. It's talking about kingdom here because it's his kingdom he's coming to set up. You are arrayed in holy garments and your strength will be renewed each day like the morning dew. Praise God. Father, be honored here tonight. May your grace sustain and strengthen us by the power of your word. Refresh us in this service tonight, and we'll give you and your son all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. I think we ought to leave here tonight with joy. I said we ought to leave here tonight with joy. With joy. And you ought to leave here tonight with strength. For the joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
Strength. We've got something good. I mean, you've got something good. You need to be telling as many people as you come in contact with. That's the mission of the church. Mission of the church, and that's us, not the collective organization, the church, the body of Christ. Our mission is to take the gospel individually, each of us responsible, to take the message of the church to as many people as we come in contact with. You didn't come here tonight because life has been perfect for anybody, right? Right? We want results. And sometimes we want them now. But results don't come quickly. We're in a rush all the time because we're moving in a very fast-paced society. And indicators of that are prophecy of Daniel, of course, and that's coming to pass, and technology and knowledge increasing at speeds like we've never seen before in all of our history, and doing things today that we never thought possible. And we've become people who are in a rush. But we must never forget we are called to wait for the Lord. And anyone who is successful worked for it. True. Success is not drive-through. You know, people eat too much fast food and they're not healthy. They drive through for something quick. Not everything quick is good. Because if my grandma and my mama were here tonight, they would lecture you about how to put the ingredients together and how long it takes to put the right kind of meal together for an appropriate celebration of Thanksgiving. Not everything that's quick is good. But people want stuff fast. And that can lead to indigestion and gastrointestinal issues. Yeah. So, he goes on to say in the book of Isaiah chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. What a promise to the people of the Lord. When there's great darkness on this planet, spiritually, the Lord will arise over his people, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles, or people who don't know the Lord, shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, the glory of God shining through, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. And many have wondered, reading this prophecy from Isaiah, if this day would ever come. Is this day ever going to arrive? All through the history of the people of God, there have been myriads of people wondering, when's this day ever going to come to pass? Born again people need to believe in God's promises. We're challenged with endurance and persistence because many do not believe what God has promised us. We need to believe and own it for ourselves. We need to believe if we are faithful, consistently, persistently, one day God's purpose in us is going to come to pass. Because we struggle to believe, the tendency then is to cut corners. And because people fail to trust God and wait for the Lord, they start taking shortcuts. And they get themselves in financial struggles. They get themselves in relational struggles. People don't believe the day is coming that God said, we will shine. Amen? Many give up their integrity because they don't believe in the process any longer. And God says, it's a process on this journey. There's a day appointed that we will shine. And worse, we raise children that don't believe because they see unbelief in us. Mentoring another generation that doesn't believe what God said will come to pass because they see parents don't believe that what God said is coming to pass. But there are those of us who are determined to stay the course. We believe. We are trusting God. The devil that attacked our fathers will no longer have success with us. And we believe it's not someday, but I believe and we believe that day has arrived. That day is here. Amen. This service is designed to guarantee you receive everything you want to have from the Lord. And some people don't want to awaken early in the morning because they're fearful of what they might have to face. And so they're reluctant to get up and slow to get up. But when you know in your knower that God's made promises to you, you awaken with energy and anticipation. Anybody awaken like that? With energy and anticipation. That's the way I get up every morning. Not everybody's happy about that, but that's the way I get up every morning. Amen? So let's get started, right? Do you know how things operate in the kingdom where Jesus has lordship? Do you know that he's Lord, not just Savior? He's Lord. Now, I'm not here to stir people once a week to an emotional high. We are not going to become worship addicts where all we do is come to performances so we can feel good about what we've seen or heard or experienced. There has to be something inside of us that connects with our Lord and Master and says, our time has come. This is our hour. So number one, you might want to write some of these down. Every victory is the result of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every victory is the result of the lordship of Jesus Christ. God was working for us when we were not even paying attention to him. Many people think they're here because of their own power. Look at what I've done. I'm here. Look at what I've done. I've achieved something great. Many people think they're here because of their power. The victory we have in being here tonight belongs to Jesus. And when you didn't think God was working for you, he knew you'd be here listening to this truth tonight. God foresaw that. You are here because he gave you the thought. He gave you the ability. He gave you the wake up to be here on this Sunday night. All the victories belong to the Lord. Thank him. I said, thank him. Because if you miss the service, listen, you need the atmosphere of his presence that only happens when all of his people gather. The victor, Jesus Christ, has given us the victory. Now, some want to have success where they don't have to come to worship, don't have to pray, can go take time away from church on weekends. You are too broken to adopt the culture of this world because that'll only make things worse, not better. There's an old nature in each of us vying for attention every single day. But with the Holy Spirit, you have the upper hand because Jesus gives us the victory. And no matter the pressure, pressure so intense, it opens the door for some to even entertain the spirit of suicide. Even among people in the body of Christ, listening to that voice, lying to them. So listen to me. The Spirit of God in each of us guarantees our future and hope. God has promised that to us. So when the enemy comes whispering that your life isn't worth it, that the pressure's too great, that you're too tired, that you might as well throw in the towel and roll over and play dead. Listen, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Tell your neighbor, don't take the credit for what Jesus has done. Right? Now, people like to tell about themselves all they've done. No. Our help comes from the Lord. Amen? Some people think they've arrived because of their own abilities. No one can deliver himself. No one knows how to deliver himself. We have to meet up with Jesus Christ. And you will continue to struggle if you stay around those who don't know how to trust in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because our dependence is on his lordship. Number two, second, my alignment will determine my victory. My alignment will determine my victory. Every day, we have to choose. We make multiple choices. And we have to choose through categories. Choose which issue I will identify with. Choose where I'm going to land on any given topic. What aisle am I going to walk down this day? We're looking for the sweet spot of victory, right? People are searching. Let me announce to you, I found it. I said, I found it. It's not that I found it 30 or 40 years ago. I continue to discover it every single day because my Father enjoys playing hide and seek with me, right? Father knows if we get too comfortable, we will not continue to seek him. So he's always got some new revelation, some nugget he's hidden in the Word. And as many times as I've read it, I've not found it, I've not discovered it. And he constantly plays hide and seek. And then lo and behold, he reveals something to me I did not know. And I never can get comfortable or relaxed. So Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God likes to play hide and seek, but if you're calling off the search, you will not have enough for your children and your grandchildren. We can never afford to call off the search. I constantly, daily search to see what it is God's trying to say or wants to say to me. Some have called off the search. They've stopped looking. They've stopped seeking. They've stopped pursuing. They've kind of laid down their armor. They've stopped looking out because after you pass, your lineage is going to have very little to go on unless you walk off the stage in a continual mode of searching and pursuing the Lord. Your model for the next generation should be how to seek the Lord. They'll have to do the same things we have done, but the environment of our culture is growing worse every day for the generation that follows us. So it's no time for people who have led the way to start becoming slackers when it comes to seeking the Lord. The way you align yourself will determine whether you operate in a level of victory. Now, many people can't submit, and they haven't learned this about the kingdom. They are in the wrong aisle. They're marching to the drumbeat of the culture, not the drumbeat of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Some reject any authority because they're marching to the wrong drumbeat. They have a struggle with authority figures. And they can't seem to ever bring themselves into submission. In the kingdom, that's a learned, an absolute that has to be learned by all of us. We all need to be accountable and submitted. And some people think when he touches on that, he gets on my nerves. It's because you're in the wrong aisle. If you're in the right aisle, you'll shout hallelujah on that one, right? When you align with Jesus' kingdom column, peace and joy return because you have submitted to his lordship. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives direction and he gives command and he expects us to be obedient to what he asks of us. Every generation should do better than the previous generation. Sons and daughters need to hear this truth. I don't know why you want to lag behind. And what's on my father needs to be on me, and what's on me needs to be on my children and my children's children. And we must teach the next generation related to the lordship of Jesus Christ by modeling that for them and showing and demonstrating that for them. If you are not submitted to Jesus' lordship and his kingdom, neither will your children or your children's children be submitted to him. We ought to get some amens here tonight. I know from following my leadership, I walk undercover in the right direction. And we must teach people this because it is not a natural instinct. Some people think, well, I'm just automatically going to do that once I become born again. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to have to learn how to be obedient. Jesus learned obedience, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, by the things he suffered, by the challenges he endured. Yeah. If Jesus had to learn it, I think you and I probably will have to learn it too. Right? So it's not instinctive, it's not natural. But there's too much hell outside of the arena. God wants us to operate as people of his kingdom. There's just too much hell in this culture. And God wants to give you victory every day of your life. And victory belongs to Jesus. And it only comes because of his kingdom. It's not that I have no problems. I know the one who can solve them. And I'm following his lordship. Because when I follow his lordship, he's the only one I know who can solve my problems. The one who granted me victory yesterday is the one who reveals victory for me today. We have to realize we don't know everything. We are learners in the kingdom. We are called disciples, people who learn discipline and learn so we get under the lordship of Jesus. And if you're upset already because someone said something negative to you on Facebook, oh my, you haven't met the people who are going to say stuff negatively to you face to face. Yeah. And that demon will probe you. And I don't care if you're wearing your Jesus t-shirt, that devil is still going to attack you. If you're not walking in the right aisle, your Christianity will be set back because of refusal to learn to walk under the lordship of Jesus. The enemy is lurking. He's waiting for you, me, any of us to cop a BA. Evil used to target people in the malls. Now he targets people in church because he does not fear God, and now he's learned not to have to worry about the church either in this culture. They know we walk outside of the boundaries, that we're not submitted fully to the lordship of Jesus. And therefore, if we're not submitted fully to the lordship of Jesus, we lack the power to stop any attack the enemy launches against us. When you're under the lordship of Jesus, you tell the devil he has to go because you're under his authority. The Lord's authority gives you his authority to tell the devil to get out of your life. But when you're not submitted to the Lord, you don't have authority to do that. We don't walk around in fear cowering when we have power to see people delivered, when we learn to walk under his lordship. we must fear the same God and honor the lordship of Jesus and align ourselves in the same aisle under his lordship and obey his will. We walk in unity under Jesus' lordship. And when we do, the devil starts to tremble. And that should make everybody rejoice, because it's good for him to tremble rather than us. And many have lost direction in America, among American evangelicals in the last presidential election. 52 million of them stayed home. That sickens me. It should sicken every member of the church. Have you listened to some of the candidates for office? Have you compared some of the things they're saying to what our founding fathers said about their goals and visions for America and gave you the freedoms and the blessings and the great things that have happened in this culture? I'm not saying we're perfect, because we're not. We're human, right? Human beings make mistakes. There have been mistakes throughout our history. But comparatively, my goodness, God has used America to bless the entire world. And our founding fathers, based on biblical principles, most people don't know this, but Thomas Jefferson, when he was writing the Declaration of Independence, was wanting to put in there emancipation for the slaves way back when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, because he had it in his heart to know this is not the way of God, this is not the principle by which we should be serving God, and the others decided we can't have that. So it took Abraham Lincoln later to come along and change the course of history. Yes, we've made terrible mistakes, but this is still the greatest nation on the planet, and we are grateful to be a part of the kingdom of the Lord. Amen. But have you heard? Have you listened to the course changes that some of these candidates intend to make, where you will become a slave to the government that they put in place? Where you thought slavery was over, they will make you their slave. You will do what they want you to do, when they want you to do it, and you will be paid what they say you can be paid, and you will travel when they say you can travel. Listen to me. We've got to understand we are in a very dangerous place in America. So why have we gotten here? Because of a refusal to submit to the lordship of Jesus, even among those who claim they pray and are religious and get on television and say, well, we're praying. We don't want to do this, but we're praying. Oh, really? To what God are you praying? Because are you listening to this God you're praying to? Have you really heard from him? You know what blessed me last week? I saw a group of evangelicals, some of which are worship people and pastors, gathered at the White House once again, and they had a worship service in the White House, and hands were raised, and people were singing and blessing the name of the Lord, and laid hands again on the president, and thanked the Lord for people who know how to pray. Amen? Well, I don't like the president. Well, some people don't like the president. That's not a matter of liking. It's a matter of praying for him, because we're commanded in the kingdom of God under the lordship of Jesus to pray for those in authority over us. Right? But they have people in government today that are unsubmitted, who are power grabbers, who will say anything, promise you anything, to get power in their hands, and have become disobedient to the faith handed to them by our founding fathers. This is not a day to play church, just looking good. We need the character of Jesus restored in the church. Amen? Amen. Third, it's worth spending our lives aligning with the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's worth it. I've walked with Jesus journeying, but it doesn't mean a thing. I will spend the rest of my life continuing to align myself with Jesus. Amen? No disrespect, but to the next generation, do you understand the implications of this walk under kingdom lordship? Many don't understand the consequences of wandering off in your own direction. What happens when you take a path that's not under the lordship of Jesus, sometimes there are lifelong consequences to those choices. One day to the next, the enemy will find an angle. He's always looking for an opportunity. But when we walk in the right aisle, God will work through his church to provide us remedy. What a privilege. Jesus' church is designed to work kingdom blessings, doing the same works that Jesus did, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God is with us when we are the church under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we can assist others when we are under his authority. When we walk away, it's because we've chosen the wrong aisle. The Lord has commissioned his people to do kingdom work here and now. When the door opens, you walk through it. This is not a gospel. You know, many have adopted a gospel as a comfort blanket. And the Western culture has adopted this comfort blanket gospel, that we just want to be comfortable in church. And while the whole world around us is racing headlong to strip away the values, the morals, the principles upon which this country was founded, and steal them from us from right under our noses while we are in our comfort blanket, snuggling up together and enjoying ourselves. Isn't that great? There is only one gospel, and this is the gospel, that we're in the business of helping people and taking the message of good news to as many as we can. That's what the gospel is about. Amen? Those who are looking for help are everywhere, seeking for hope in a world that doesn't have much hope to offer. Bring them Jesus, not religion. Bring them Jesus. We're not selling anything. We're not trying to get people just to whatever it is in their happy place. We're trying to get people to their destiny, to their purpose. But there are some in the wrong aisle, and they're blocking God's purposes. The religious of Jesus' day attempted to block people from getting to Jesus. They did everything they could to stop Jesus from doing his thing. I'm hungry enough and thirsty enough to want to see hundreds and thousands of people come to know Jesus in my generation before his return. God, visit us. God, bless us with your presence. God, change the hearts of your people. When we walk in the column of Jesus' lordship, he will load us down with blessings. God has great things for us, but always in his aisle. No one has taken my success. If I'm failing or faltering, I was in the wrong aisle. When I got in the right column, in the right aisle, walking in God's purpose, then he restores and favor comes back. And while we're attempting to make it happen, all we've got to do is just get in the right place where his favor can take care of us under his lordship. Fourth, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it might seem like you're losing, but you're winning. The church of Jesus doesn't know what losing looks like. His true church does not know what losing looks like. The culture thought Jesus was losing. Look at him, stripped bare, hanging on a cross, beaten, unrecognizable, losing. They were counting up to all the losses. Jesus was counting down, resurrection. Sunday morning's coming. Hallelujah. I will get up out of this grave and nothing's going to stop us, right? The devil thought he had won. He threw a victory party. Jesus is dead. The devil thought, I have eternally defeated his kingdom and defeated his purpose. Listen, he did not know you would meet Jesus through his church and you would walk in the right aisle and new life would begin and you would become a follower and a disciple and a learner of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." That's the victorious Jesus I'm aligned with. Amen. The enemy thinks you will never succeed. The master has other plans. You will be a lender, not a borrower. Right? Walk under his lordship because it works. God wants to bless his people, but this is the last day that we want to walk on our own path. We want to walk on his path. We don't want to walk in our authority. We walk in kingdom authority. It's time. I said it's time. Say it, it's time. Now, we kind of know you now, Pastor. Yeah. You will only see partially until you walk in the same aisle with me under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You want to know my heart? You will know my heart when you walk in the same aisle as I'm walking in, under the lordship of Jesus. But in unity, he commands his blessings. The devil says, "You don't need to go to that church." Yes, you need to come to this church. What God has done for one, he will do for all. And whatever you need, God has this. Amen? Some have been living a nightmare. But when you get into the right column, he'll open up your dreams. Amen? I want you to have all that God promised you can have. And if you walk under his lordship, miracles, supernatural healing will flow through your life because the authority we possess is his. I know what my God will do when we align with his lordship. When we go to a nice restaurant, we don't eat a bunch of snacks before we go. At least we don't. I hope you don't. If you're going to go to a really nice place to eat, you don't be snacking all the time. And you fill yourself up and you go to the nice restaurant and you can hardly eat the meal, right? We're not force-fed when we go to a nice restaurant. We're ready to eat. And when you come here knowing there'll be a good word for you, lay off the chocolate chip cookies, off the sweets, and get here and get away from the little stuff that fills you up with nothingness. We are not show-offs here. We're a common people with a great big God. Amen? And my big God wants to do all kinds of things for his people when we aligned ourselves with his son. And fifth, under Jesus' lordship, the reduction to seed form is an announcement of multiplication. Yeah. John put it like this, "I must decrease, so he must increase," right? So reduction to seed form is an announcement of multiplication. We understand the importance of pruning trees. Have you done any of that yet? It's about the time of the year to be doing that, fruit trees. So that next season, what? They'll produce more fruit. The church struggles with cutting off branches and pruning. God says, "I don't like that sticking out of you. That's not a good thing. We need to clip that back. There's not enough fruit on that particular limb. We need to prune that back." So we don't like that idea. But Jesus made it very clear that the Father takes the pruning shears and goes to work among his people. That wasn't a passing just comment he made. He said that's a part of kingdom principle. That's what he does among his people. But we struggle. We don't like that. I don't want to take that off away from me. But anything that doesn't produce must be pruned. Man, I thought they'd be shouting by now. Yeah? I'd be dancing down the aisle saying, "Yes, here I am, Lord. Do whatever you want to do," right? Whatever doesn't produce must be pruned. Now, if we want full fruit when the season comes around, we have to prune back some stuff. Cut back even some of those branches that have produced fruit so that they're stronger and healthier and produce larger and sweeter fruit. I've got this great guy I know, and he comes over and he does some work and he can eyeball those branches that produce nothing but leaves and knows how to get rid of those. And even some of the good fruit-producing limbs that need to produce more fruit, knows how to trim them properly. We have to prune back some stuff. It's not going to feel good at the moment. But if it's taking away from what God wants to do in our lives, it needs to be pruned. We tend to keep stuff around until it drains all of our energy of the vision and purpose of Jesus' ministry and sucks out of us the life that needs to be going into fruit bearing. Pruning is important in Jesus' kingdom, and he only prunes when we have belief and faith that God wants to produce more fruit. We cut stuff off that pretends that it's bearing fruit, but only has leaves on the branches. And that's what we need to set out to do. Cut stuff off that pretends it's bearing fruit, but only looks good because the branch is covered with pretty green leaves. We've got to cut some things back, not because we're in trouble. It's because we expect more. We're believing God to be more productive than we've ever been. Okay, let me say it this way. Some things still carried on branches will suck the life out of you. They draw strength away from us. They slow us down in our season. Learn, when God gets ready to give us fruitful season, there will be pruning. Amen. Always will be. And if there are some of those in your life and they drain your spiritual strength, there's going to have to be some pruning. The church has not understood this principle in our culture very well. But when we understand this process, we will welcome the pruning. Whatever you see that needs to go, let's get rid of it so we can be more productive. Amen? Amen. Can I work this a minute? Amen. I'm going to work this a little bit. I'm feeling this. How big is the blessing God wants to bring your way? Where that blessing will not only fill your boat, but fill their boat, and still there isn't enough room to contain all of it. Most assuredly, Jesus said, in other words, you can go to the bank on this. It's absolute. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. It's isolated. Nothing happens with it. It's virtually useless. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So you can take the kernel of corn or wheat or whatever, and you can park it in a sack in your garage. It's not going to do anything. Just sit there. Not going to produce anything for you. Or you can devour it, make a meal out of it. Once it's gone, there's nothing left to utilize. Or you can take a bunch of it and you can plant it in good soil. And every time you put one kernel of corn in the ground, and then that corn stalk begins to grow, and on it, multiple ears of corn. Out of that one seed, was planted in the ground. If you thought you were doing well, if you thought it was good then, and some people want to live in the then. I remember the days early of the church. Well, those were good days, yes, I agree. You thought those were great, and they were for that time. Wait until the full resurrection of the church of Jesus under kingdom authority. Some see you during a bad time and they'll look at you and think it's your last time, but your bad time is not your last time. Your bad time is setting you up for your good time. The grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies. You will be asked to crucify yourself with Christ. There will come death to the old nature. It must die before there can be a resurrection. My old self, Paul said, has been crucified with Christ. Don't you know he bore a lot of fruit? And his fruit remains because he's still bearing fruit even until today. Because God used him to pen half of the New Testament that's enlightened the minds and hearts of people all over the world. In fact, here's how Paul put it: my ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, for I am no longer driven to impress God, because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Buried with him. Sometimes it's been people who drive you into the ground and bury you, but you're in seed form. But you're not broken out yet. You haven't popped up through the surface because there's still hard and rough edges. But wait until Jesus, the potter, takes to you his fingers and his craftsmanship, and he works on you and pushes away the roughness and the difficult areas that are hard. And wait until he's worked on you so that we can become risen with him. Coming up out of the ground, healthy, a plant ready to bear fruit. Don't be jealous of me. God's still working on me. Just wait until I am risen with him. Amen. Our new season is emerging. And the way I was is not how I will be. And if you believe breakthrough and breakout is here, you ought to shout for your victory. Our best days are ahead. I said, our best days are ahead. Tell your neighbor, multiply. And when we have multiplied because of seed going into the ground, abiding alone in the dirt. And then we begin to pop up through the ground and we begin to branch out and fruit begins to develop. Okay? Multiply, multiply. Oh my goodness, out of this one seed that I thought I buried now has popped up. And out of that one seed, we can't even count them all now. The devil will not know which one to target because you're multiplying in the resurrection so fast he can't keep up with all that God's doing through his people. In the Garden of Eden, God provided Adam four streams that flowed through that garden. And God will multiply whatever you need in your life. When the devil tries to stop one up, God will open up another stream, another way of bringing to you the blessing. God is our Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. When the enemy attacks from the right, God brings us more from the left. And here's why God chose you: because he can get glory out of your life. And if he's Lord, you will let everybody know who he is to you. And you will let them know this is the way of life. Following Jesus, I dare you, leave here tonight and tell everybody You have found the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he's doing amazing things for you and in your family. Amen. Come on, stand up with me, everybody.